Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
We have some things to watch for as the UN meets on climate starting this week. I'm David Brancaccio. First, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday as nonprofits look for some love during a season of spending. But between now and then is Cyber Monday, a time when apparently we're meant to use work time to shop online. Consumption is an economic barometer, and shoppers have been spending more vigorously than predicted. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Black Friday sales were up 2.5% over last year, according to MasterCard's Spending Pulse. MasterCard measures in-store and online sales across all forms of payment and does not adjust for inflation. What did we buy? Clothes and jewelry topped the list. MasterCard says online sales on Black Friday increased 8.5% from last year. Adobe Analytics says today, Cyber Monday, is still expected to be this year's biggest online shopping day. Adobe says the best deals today will be on electronics and furniture. If you're looking for bargains on appliances, you should shop on Thursday. The biggest deals on sporting goods are expected a week from today. And Adobe says for the first time, we'll do most of our online shopping on our phones. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Now to China, where officials have launched an investigation into one of the country's biggest financial services companies, which looks a lot like a bank, but is what is termed a shadow bank, heavily into the creaky real estate market over there. Here's Monica Miller with the BBC.
Shengzhou Enterprise. It's one of China's largest private conglomerates with operations in financial services, mining, electric vehicles. Well, it has reported that they have potential total liabilities of $65 billion. Now, that's more than double its assets. I mean, these are called in China so-called shadow banks. They're firms that operate with very similar to a bank, except that they don't have quite the regulation that oversees them. And this has been concerning for many people because many of their clients are middle class or upper middle class people. And any defaults or even concerns about delayed payments could dampen consumer confidence in an economy that is really softened since the coronavirus outbreak. It is just rocking the financial problems of an already problematic sector. We've spoken on this program about Evergrande and Country Garden, some of these where they are just saddled in debt and people are left without homes that they have invested in, which is really what was building up the Chinese economy. And so this is a very concerning piece of news.
Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
On Thursday, the big UN summit on climate change kicks off. COP28 is happening in Dubai, part of the United Arab Emirates. There's confirmation that President Biden will not attend, but the U.S. is sending a senior delegation. For a set of ways to judge progress, if any, at the summit, we turn to Vijay Vaitheswaran, Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine, who will be in Dubai. Vijay, thanks so much for joining us here.
I have one word for you. Methane.
Another gas, but it's not carbon dioxide that gets so much attention.
It has an inferior public relations man, but in fact, methane is the most potent gas we can act on that creates warming in the short term. It's probably the quickest win to try to tackle emissions of methane from the fossil fuel industry in particular.
I mean, it's not trivial, but it's a lower hanging fruit. If you could capture the methane before it goes out in the atmosphere, you might have positive effects quicker.
That's exactly right. Carbon dioxide stays up in the atmosphere for hundreds of years. It's much more long-lived. It's the principal problem. But methane, which has been largely overlooked, is the second biggest cause, and it acts much more quickly. It also means that we can reduce its effects quickly. So it could buy us a crucial decade or more during which we can scale up alternatives like clean energy innovation.
All right. So as COP28 goes on, you'll be watching what they say and do about methane. But number two has to do with the money to deal with the whole kit and caboodle.
It's always about the money, and rightly so. The usual sort of headbanging that goes on is developing countries complain about the injustice of it all because rich countries, let's admit it, we created the problem. Most of the pollution that's in the air comes from industrialization, and rich countries haven't coughed up the amount of money that has been promised in the past, let alone funding new things like a loss and damage fund that was agreed at the last COP in Egypt a year ago. We're talking about millions, up to $100 billion kind of funding that's been a source of great political debate. In fact, it's a bit of a sideshow because the amount of money that we're going to need to deal with the climate challenge is in the trillions of dollars.
And the last point here, how fast to cut down fossil fuels that produce carbon, or put another way, how fast to cut out fossil fuels, reduce the stuff or end it?
Well, you put your finger right on the hot button issue. Is it going to be a phase down or a phase out of fossil fuels? Again, a lot of blood will be spilt in the hallways in Dubai at the convention center when negotiators, 198 countries, have to agree this. In reality, the world gets about 80% of its energy today from fossil fuels. So the idea of getting rid of them tomorrow is really just a political point. The reality is we need to invest mostly from the private sector in those clean energy technologies and energy efficiency and technologies for removing emissions, like negative emissions. That's how we're going to transform the energy system.
There has to be some irony that such a big producer of fossil fuel, the UAE, is hosting this particular conference.
It's a subject of great either laughter or terrifying nightmares, depending on your ideological point of view. And if it takes a Nixon goes to China moment, that is an unexpected political character to bring an unusual coalition together. And it might be the United Arab Emirates being a big oil producer that gets national oil companies to agree to, you know, phase down their methane emissions. That might be the moment that we're looking for.
Vijay Vaitheswaran is Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine. Thank you for the help on this.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
But the BBC has now obtained leaked documents showing the host of the UN Climate Summit, the United Arab Emirates, was planning to take advantage of some of the high-level visitors coming to town to discuss new oil and gas opportunities. Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed will have that later today if you missed the report on our air this morning. I'm David Brancaccio. From APM, American Public Media.